We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Welcome in, episode 85 of Hogan Johns. Back in, well, our studio.
Let's call it the studio.
It is the studio. I don't think we've done an episode in here since the season ended.
Really?
Because we've been on the road so much.
Mm-hmm.
We did one at the Senior Bowl. We did two at the Combine.
You flew solo at the owners' meetings?
Yeah. And in between, the only ones I think we've done is we haven't been in the same place.
Yeah.
We've been doing it kind of remotely. So,
well, it's good to see you, my friend.
I know, you too, in person. And I got you a new chair over there, a nice recliner. You can kick your feet back
if
you
want. You know what? I just might.
You should. This is Hogan Johns, Adam Hogue and Adam Johns. Here, episode 85. This is the Earl Bennett episode, I'm calling it.
Okay.
Well, you know, I'm trying
to think of someone better at 85.
I think this speaks to all the crappy wide receivers the Bears have had in their history. Because, like, I feel like we've hit a huge dry spell in the 80s.
Well, it used to be the place receivers come to die, right?
Yeah, exactly. Dennis McKinnon's one we could have gone here.
Yeah.
I feel like we either do 85 Bears or current Bears. So
that is the Bears then.
I know.
Think about it. Maybe you throw an Urlacher or Briggs or Tillman in there, but it's still the 85 Bears.
Yeah.
And now
it's, for a charter franchise.
People are still living in 85.
So let's give Earl Bennett some love. One of
nice guy.
Three players who, isn't it three? I'm screwing up my own stat here now. That who have received an extension in the last decade. Three Bears draft picks who have received an extension. Kyle Long, mm-hmm. Earl Bennett. No, there's four. Earl Bennett, Kyle Long, Matt Forte, and Kellen Davis.
Oh,
sorry. I didn't mean to depress everyone right off the bat here, but that's the reality of life right now with your Chicago Bears. At Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. That's where you follow us on Twitter. WGNradio.com/Bears is where you read me. ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you read Johns. And you can search for Hogan Johns on iTunes or TuneIn. Find the podcast there. Please rate and review the podcast if you enjoy it. We appreciate you doing that. All right, so had a couple episodes from Arizona last week. The NFL owners' meeting's going on. You did not make the trip. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On your third son.
There goes my house.
Martellus Bennett Johns.
Martin. Although Martellus Bennett's done a nice thing for Morgan Park High School. I should throw that in there. Bought their state championship rings. But, yep, we're going with Marty.
Marty. Marty James, right?
Yeah, Martin James Johns. So, yeah, Marty James Johns. No, we're not going to call him MJ, even though that would work very well in Chicago. We're going with Marty. Fits the Irish lineage of names that we have for our sons.
Well, congrats to MJ on North Carolina winning the national championship. Yes. The other day. Okay, so congratulations on that. Appreciate you knocking out a podcast in the middle of all that with me as I was in Arizona. And the last one was just sort of wrapping up everything Ryan Pace and John Fox had to say out there in Arizona. That's our really the longest chats we get with those two guys the entire year down there. So I hope everyone enjoyed hearing from them. What was your takeaways? You kind of took in everything from Arizona from afar.
From afar, the love for Mike Glennon, it is really starting to, it's deep. They have a real liking for this. He's more than, I think, than a one-year plan, even though his contract says he could just be a one-year plan.
Because that's what I was going to immediately say. It's like, I totally agree with you, the way they're talking up this guy.
Yeah.
They're not shying away from it. But at the same time, put your money where your mouth is, and the money isn't really there. I mean, it is for 1 year.
Yes.
But I also just think that's a they do believe everything they're saying, but they left them the out in case they're wrong.
Yes. It's perfectly constructed contract, in my opinion. 1 year deal, that also gives you three if the guy turns out to be good. So you got this guy under your control. It's Pace saying that he wanted to trade for him last year. It's John Fox singing his praises. Heck, it's Pernell McPhee the other day at the Ed Block thing. singing his praises. There's just a lot of good things that is coming out of the mouths of the organization right now. And I get it. It's what they're doing. They're talking up their guy. But they keep doubling down. They're tripling down on their affinity for this guy. It's real. And you ask around around the league, they've had a liking. Ryan Pace's liking is true. He's just, you know, he wanted to trade for him a year ago. He really had a high draft grade on this guy coming out, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, how many years ago it was. And I think that even if he does struggle, there's going to be a second season of Mike Glennon.
Well, probably. Yeah, I think it was built in a way that you're probably going to see him in the Bears uniform at least for 2 years. In terms of what this means for the draft, tell me if you agree with me. I mean, I'm at this point, I don't think there's any chance in hell they take a quarterback number three.
Yeah, you want to say never.
Now, I do think if one of these guys falls to the second round at number 36, that's a possibility. When I say one of these guys, I'm talking about one of the top four. And I'm sure they don't love all the top four. But if one of the guys that they like falls to number 36, I think they can pull the trigger there. And while they might not like one of these guys to the point where they want to take him third overall, they might like one enough that they're willing to trade back into the back end of the first round.
Yeah.
I would still say that's unlikely because they have so many needs, and that would take giving up later picks, which I don't think they want to do. In fact, I think they'd love to trade back a little bit and acquire more picks. Mm-hmm. But I'm not ruling out one of these top four quarterbacks ending up as a Bear. I don't think it's going to happen at number three.
Well, in general, it's a very strong draft class. Great for cornerbacks, great for safeties, great for tight ends, great for pass rushers, great for running backs. Not need for the Bears, but great for running backs. It's not great for quarterbacks. And I think, you know, when these teams grade these players, they kind of clump them together. I think a lot of these quarterbacks are clumped together. No one has separated themselves like an Andrew Luck, like a Marcus Mariota and a Jameis Winston. Like a Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. You don't have that separation. Not even a Deshaun Watson is good enough to have that degree of separation where this guy is a legitimate top 15 pick.
Right.
None of them have that. So when these grades are so similar, you could see where they could fall. Quarterbacks always move up, but where you could have a guy who you have a similar grade on, whether it's Kaiser, Mahomes, Davis Webb, where maybe that second-round pick becomes an option, or later first-round pick becomes an option for teams. I think all of them are so clumped together. No one has separated themselves to a point where you have to go after them.
We're going to have an entire episode coming up in a couple weeks on the quarterback class. And in fact, we're going to get ready because we're going to have four or five episodes coming up between now and the draft in the month of April. This is really, you know, draft season for us too here on the podcast. So we'll have plenty more breakdown of this quarterback class. But yeah, I mean, I think everything you said there is correct. And in terms of number three, again, I just don't see it happening. So let's kind of talk about this number three pick. My third mock draft came out yesterday. My third Bears mock draft 3.0. You can read it at WGNRadio.com/Bears. What do you mean? 3.0? Yeah.
You
didn't like it.
You picked a tight end.
Yeah? What's wrong with that?
Look, I like O.J. Howard, but he's a tight end.
So?
Come on. Come on.
There are...
Right, explain yourself, sir.
Would you draft Rob Gronkowski third overall?
No.
You
I wouldn't.
What?
I would not. What? I would not. He was a second-round pick.
That's fine. I know what he was, but hindsight, knowing what he became,
no,
you wouldn't have drafted that guy third overall.
No, he's still a tight end.
What? See, this is ridiculous. So you're not taking a safety third overall too? It's like just.
I have my apprehensions about that as well. Yes.
Why?
Yes, it's just the value of the position.
Value is wrong.
Ugh.
Case in point,
Rob Gronkowski has the greatest quarterback of all time throwing to him.
That's true.
Of course, okay, Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. In hindsight, he should have been the number one overall pick, but still.
Look, if a guy can play, he can play.
I get that.
I really believe O.J. Howard is going to be one of the top.
He's a top 10 pick.
So why is he not a top three?
Well, three's a big. It's a marquee position. It's a marquee draft slot. And I know we're talking about not taking quarterback
okay,
there.
Okay, so why don't you draft Marshawn Lattimore, whose hamstrings fall off every time he runs?
I do like Lattimore.
Okay, cool. You'd rather have that guy than a guy who's going to be an incredible tight end for the next 12 years.
Yeah. Look, that makes a lot of sense. I do get your point. But he's still a tight end. With all due respect to the tight end position, you're still a tight end.
That's a horrendous argument.
Look, I know the tight end position has evolved. And even me saying a tight end is a tight end, look, they do so many different things now. Right, it's why the safety position is so much more valuable now.
Would you take a wide receiver third overall?
I don't think there's one in this draft.
That's not the question. Yeah. Would you take one?
Yes.
So why not take a guy who's just as good as one of the top wide receivers? That's what I think he's going to become, and he can also block. He's Greg Olsen as a receiver, and Martellus Bennett as a blocker.
When did Greg Olsen go?
At the end of the first round
for
the Bears.
Yes, yes. It's just the value of the position. Look, maybe it's just me having to get over. And I've come around on the increased value of tight ends. It's clearly evident. That's why, again, my safeties are more valuable. That's why you need these linebackers who can do so many different things. That's why Leonard Floyd had increased value at 9 because he could take a guy down the seam.
Yeah.
It's
all right, let me explain myself.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, first of all, I made it perfectly clear that ideally if the Bears draft O.J. Howard in the first round, they trade back first.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because I don't know that you have to take him third overall. I agree he's a top 10 pick. I think he probably going in the top 12. It's probably where he's going to end up in this draft. So I think the Bears, if they can trade back, you know, 3-4 slots, whatever it is, acquire more picks, end up with O.J. Howard, I think that's a great first mm-hmm. round. All right? I don't project trades in these drafts, so I'm not going to, you know, in that mock draft, I'm not going to, you know, just throw that out there. My point was, I would ideally you trade back and draft him, but I still think he's worthy of a third overall pick. Yeah. That's how highly I think of him. There's also the Bears are right on this edge at number 3 of that incredibly rare talent. You know, the Myles Garretts, you know, the Andrew Lucks, the guys that you just know are going to be good, barring catastrophic, unforeseen injuries that happen in football. There's always that small percentage that you just never know. But there, every year, there's one or two or three, depends on the year, where you just go, yeah, I mean,
no brainer.
Myles Garrett's that guy this year. He's just that going to be that good. So, and I think Jamal Adams is one of those players this year. I know some people wouldn't agree with me completely on that, but I love Jamal Adams. And then offensively, I think O.J. Howard's that guy in this draft. He's the guy offensively that I really have almost zero questions about.
Yeah.
And even with Leonard Fournette, as much as I love Leonard Fournette, and I think he's going to be good, there's still, you know, just a twinge of doubt mm-hmm. with that guy. And I don't have it about O.J. Howard. So to me, those are the three guys, Myles Garrett, Jamal Adams, and O.J. Howard, who I think are
sure things
that come with as close to a sure thing as you can have in this draft. You start talking about guys like Solomon Thomas. I think the Bears like him. Vic Fangio was at his pro day, for whatever that means.
I think he's close to a sure thing. I think he's a sure thing than Jonathan Allen.
He's 273 pounds.
So what?
So you're asking him to play a position he's never played
see,
before.
That's the misconception there. The Bears, they play four down linemen a lot of times.
I agree.
And the way defenses have evolved, again, Leonard Floyd is the perfect example. Guys who could do a lot of different things and attack you in a lot of different ways.
I understand that, but 273 pounds, you line him up inside the NFL, it's not the Pac-12 anymore.
I know.
Okay, he's not just going to shoot a gap. Do I think he can do it? Yeah, do I think he's going to be a good player? Probably, but I'm talking, there's still questions there. You're going to draft that guy, ask him to do things he's never done before. So, it's not a sure thing.
I don't think he's your ideal prototypical five technique. I don't think the Bears should take the ideal prototypical five technique.
I think they would use him more as an edge rusher who can line up inside in nickel.
Exactly.
Right.
He's a pass rusher.
That's stuff he's not necessarily done before, though.
What?
And when
attack
he
the passer?
No, well, first of all, he's more of a run stopper to begin with. And can you be a 273-pound run stuffer in the NFL? That's a question mark to me. I like him. I like the potential. I think, by the way, he fits the mold of what Ryan Pace has drafted.
He does.
Especially last year.
He does.
There's a lot of it's a little bit different.
Even with Kevin White, in terms of athleticism.
Yeah. And by the way, Kevin White didn't do a whole lot. He lined up in one spot in that West Virginia offense and didn't run the whole route tree.
It's true.
Those were some of the – and they projected him to do all this other stuff. We still don't know if he can because he can't stay healthy. So I do think Solomon Thomas fits the mold of what the Bears have picked. I'm not – it wouldn't surprise me at all if they draft him. I'm just saying I have questions about can he do those things. Mentioned Lattimore. Guy ran a 4.35 at the combine. It's incredible.
Yeah.
He looks like a tremendous cornerback. Could help this team right away. Love him as a player. He runs that 4.35 and he gets hurt.
Yeah.
And he's had a history of hamstring problems. That is an enormous red flag.
Right.
I love, like, all these players we're talking about, I like them. Malik Hooker, like him a lot. I think he's one of those rare ball-hawking free safeties that, you know, maybe does slip up there in the top three.
Yeah.
Or is worthy of that.
But if you're going to red flag Lattimore, if you're going to red flag Allen for shoulders, you got a red flag Hooker, too.
Exactly. Two surgeries. Now, one was a shoulder, right?
Still, you don't like labrum. Guys coming. You want them to come to the NFL as clean as possible.
But the other one was like a hernia, right?
Sports hernia.
Yeah. Exactly. So that gets back to Howard. I mean, I'm talking about, we've said this so many times, you cannot blow this pick at number three. You cannot. And look, I don't even blame the Bears for the Kevin White situation. I don't know how you can.
No.
But you can't have that happen again.
No.
Even if it's not your fault. You can't. This guy has to be good. And so, yeah, you don't draft tight end number three. You don't, you know, O.J. Howard, you don't need to draft him that high. Fine. But if he's going to be a sure thing and he's going to be a starter in your offense day one, and by the way, Zach Miller's 33 years old in October and can't stay healthy and is in the final year of his contract, not to mention O.J. Howard's better.
Yeah.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
That's my argument.
So you're going to take him over Jamal Adams?
No.
I mean, we're talking about a safety?
No.
And a tight end.
I like Adams more. I didn't double up. I used Adams in my first mock draft, so I'm not going to just put Adams in all four of them.
You know, you mentioned trading back. I think it's going to be quite difficult unless without the quarterback being the quarterback's not a strength of this position, so that hurts all trade back possibilities. You need a team to fall in love with a guy.
Yeah,
it could be a Leonard Fournette.
Well, it could be. The thing is. The depth, we keep talking about how deep this draft is. The depth is really not at the top, though. You know what I mean? The depth is...
You're talking about the elite guys. What was the word Ryan Pace used in Phoenix? He used the word elite or something. Special Maybe. Guys.
Yeah, I don't know.
We have a handful of special guys ready to pick there.
Yeah, and I think they do.
Okay.
Because, look, they know more about the medicals than we do.
Mm-hmm.
They might know that Lattimore's, you know, hamstrings are fine. You know, whatever. They might not care about Allen's shoulders, for all we know.
Yeah.
I would, but maybe they don't.
I 100% would.
Yeah. So, and if you're going to clear those questions that I just brought up with all these guys, hell yeah, these guys are top five talents. Mm-hmm. They're really good players. Lattimore's a really good player. Hooker's a really good player with a ton of upside. I think Hooker really fits the mold of what they might pick, too. But what I was getting at, the depth that everyone keeps talking about, this is a deep defensive draft, especially. That really is later first round, second round, even in the third. A lot of NFL people believe that there are cornerbacks or safeties that you could grab like early in the third round that, you know, are more like early second round talents or late first round talents.
Right.
That type of depth. So that speaks to what you were just saying. I think it's going to be really hard to trade back because every other team understands that too. They don't want to give up their second round pick in a deep defensive draft to move up one spot or two spots. So I think it's going to be really hard to trade back.
It is. It 100% is.
Yeah. So anyway.
I know that was a bad answer. You explained it quite clearly. I was trying to think there. You caught me in thought. Who are the special talents? Who would you say those? Because Pace mentioned three. We'd have three players we're ready to take there. Garrett.
Garrett's one.
Who's the other two?
I think Malik Hooker might be one.
Yeah.
I think Malik Hooker with the upside, the rare ball skills that he possesses and has shown in a really short time.
1 year starter.
Yeah. There's a lot of projection with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's raw. He's a raw player.
But he's got things you can't teach.
Right.
Bears had that at Donatel there.
Like,
and Columbus, look at him.
Like, as much as I love Jamal Adams, the ceiling's not as high with him.
He was slow on his 40 times.
Yeah, I mean, he's
now
just,
that's not everything.
To me, he's just a really solid, good player that's going to be. This is where I think I kind of maybe differ from Ryan Pace. Like, I think Ryan Pace looks at a lot of these guys like, okay, where's the upside? Where can this guy explode in year two or year three? Like Leonard Floyd, that's what they really think is going to happen this year. They really saw that upside. I'm like maybe too cautious. Like I look at these guys and I'm like, okay, Jamal Adams can come in day one, start for you, be a leader for the next 10 years. I still think that's a pretty good career, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I think he's maybe not a Pro Bowler every single year, but like a lot of years he's going to be a Pro Bowler. Like that's a pretty good first round pick. Same thing with O.J. Howard. Like he's gonna, I think he's gonna come in day one and do all those things. I think that Ryan Pace sees like he wants guys that are going to continue to get better and reach.
It's the projection.
Yeah,
it's the projection, which is
riskier.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's what you're trying to do though, especially with the quarterbacks, is projecting what they will be, and that's what separates the best evaluators from the worst.
Yeah.
That's why the Bears are in the position they are in right now, because the Bears, for a decade, struggled with projecting. And you know, maybe Ryan Pace's mindset changes this year. Maybe he has to be more of a safe bet kind of guy.
Yeah.
I'm just other than Myles Garrett, though, I think those other two special elite players that you're okay with taking at three, I think it's very debatable. I think it's very debatable for them still. Other than Myles Garrett.
Yeah, Myles Garrett is. And by the way, Ryan Pace went to Myles Garrett's pro day.
Yep.
Met with him privately.
But O.J. Howard's been to town. Malik Hooker's been to town. Marshawn Lattimore's been to town.
It seems like more visits are getting out this year. And I'm not just talking about the Bears. League-wide, it seems like they're just leaking out more. Maybe teams are realizing it doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't change your draft board. It doesn't affect other people's opinions.
I mean, you could release all 30 of your visits. I don't think
right.
It would.
And the thing is, the range of those 30 visits, you can have, like, Roy Robertson Harris was a top 30 visit
yeah.
last year, and
yeah.
he was an undrafted free agent signing.
That might be where it hurts you. Guys kind of more off the radar that later, like, people don't realize how, like, the second the draft ends, everyone, like, continues on with their day, and I'm talking about, like, fans.
Yeah.
And they don't, like, okay, let me know when the undrafted list comes out. For the people involved in it, for the GMs and the agents and the contract negotiators, it is a crazy.
Oh, it's go time, yeah.
It might be the craziest few hours of the entire year.
Yeah.
You know, except maybe the top of the, you know, the very beginning of free agency.
Yeah.
And so that might be where it hurts you.
Knowing who.
Like, if a team might be, or even like in the seventh round, oh, man, I really think this guy, you know, there might be an undrafted guy. We really like him, but we think he's going to sign with the Bears.
Yeah.
If he goes undrafted. Well, let's use our seventh round
pick yeah.
And lock him up.
That's fair. That's
so
fair.
That might be where it hurts. I think for, you know, number three overall, I don't really think these visits or even pro. Right.
Of course, you're going to be interested in Malik Hooker, Marshawn Lattimore, yeah. you know, Solomon. Of course.
Yeah.
Well, duh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. I don't think you're fooling anyone. Okay, so the other thing that I obviously got criticized for right away in this mock draft was the fact that I didn't draft a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see a scenario in which the Bears don't draft a quarterback?
Yes. 100% yes.
Now, that would be three straight years that the Bears, that Ryan Pace did not draft a quarterback, which is something I've been critical of.
You're right.
But these quarterbacks suck, man. I'm sorry. They're not good. They're not good. I'm not, and like the top four, maybe one or two of them works out. But I'm talking about these middle guys.
Yeah.
I don't think they're good. We saw them at the Senior
yeah,
Bowl.
Yeah. I do, and I don't get the argument for always taking a quarterback. I get the argument because you got to keep swinging.
Yes, I agree with that.
To get it right.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting there in the second round and you got like a great safety, like a Buda Baker you like there at safety at the top of the second round. And you got like a Nate Peterman to consider.
Right, who I think you're completely overdrafting in the second round.
Yes, or even a Davis Webb.
Still think you're overdrafting there.
Like
I have fourth round grades on those guys.
Right. If Ryan Pace is sticking to his board, and I get that quarterbacks move up the draft board just because of the importance of the position. I 100% get that. But if you're staying true to your board, and these quarterbacks are as average as everybody says they are, I don't care about the hype. Everybody I've talked to says this class is average. Now, that doesn't mean a Dak Prescott can't emerge, but Dak Prescott and a Russell Wilson are bad examples, in my opinion. They're examples for always taking swings on guys.
Yeah.
But you cannot expect that to always happen because teams take swings on guys all the time. And quarterbacks like that just become backups around the league.
Russell Wilson was not evaluated properly.
His height and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think they too much was put in his height, not enough was put in his skill. Guy has an incredible arm. Like, that was never valued enough in the draft. Dak Prescott, I think, was actually evaluated correctly. I think he just overperformed as a rookie.
Well, here's one thing no one's talking about more. Everybody wants to praise these guys. Look, everybody passed up on Dak Prescott. Everybody passed up on Russell Wilson. The situations those guys walked into
were great.
Absolutely.
And by the way, the Bears do not have a great situation.
No, they don't. Not even close. Dak Prescott played behind the best offensive line, had the best rookie running back, has a Hall of Fame tight end, has one of the a monster receiver, a pretty good slot receiver, an underrated defense. Not a bad situation. Russell Wilson joined a Super Bowl contending team with a Hall of Fame running back, a bunch of all pros on defense. That really was the basis of your Super Bowl win. And great situations. The Bears have some positives, but nowhere near the situations those two walked into.
So I can see a scenario where they don't draft a quarterback.
Absolutely.
Because you stay true to the draft board, which is, so far Ryan Pace has stayed true to everything he says.
Right.
Like, free agency showed that. He didn't go crazy.
Right.
You know, it was underwhelming.
Yeah.
Which is what it should be.
Right.
George McCaskey said last week in Arizona, he told Ryan, you should be criticized every year at this point for not spending like crazy, because it's just you lose in free agency that way. So, like, all right, let's get to where I almost drafted a quarterback. Where was this? I think in the fourth or fifth round. Where did I go?
You're talking about guys like Josh Dobbs now.
Well, that's where it was. I was sitting going through my mock draft here. And we're down in the fifth round, which, by the way, I think someone's going to overdraft Joshua Dobbs anyway. He probably won't even be there in the fifth round. But fifth round, number 147 overall. And I'm going, all right, I haven't selected a quarterback yet. I could reach for a guy like Joshua Dobbs from Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's an offensive tackle who I've liked since the season that I saw play a couple times this year. Probably not a huge upside guy, but his name's Dan Skipper from Arkansas. Just a solid dude. Probably going to have to move to the right side. And the Bears don't have a whole lot of depth at that position. Yeah. I think they need to draft a tackle at some point
this
year.
Is that the guy who's like 7 feet tall?
Yeah, he's 6'10". A little bit under 6'10", 309 pounds. Underrated athleticism, but not the kind of he's not going to, you know.
The dude's 6'10".
Yeah, test off the charts. But you watch him. He's just a solid tackle.
He just needs to take one step and get his arms out there. He can block somebody because he's so darn big.
Yeah.
The wingspan of a 6'10 right tackle.
So in that case, I went with the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I don't think Joshua Dobbs is going to be good. Like, I saw that guy play a ton in college.
Yeah.
I saw him play Northwestern in a game where they blew Northwestern out of the building at the Outback Bowl.
Yeah.
I was standing there on the sideline, and I came away from that game going, he's a guy.
Yeah.
He is a guy. And he can have all these workouts, and he can impress you at the Senior Bowl, which he did. This guy threw like almost 10 interceptions, I think, in 109 passing attempts over 10 yards.
Yeah.
That's a terrible ratio. His accuracy above 10 yards, I'm not talking 20 yards, I'm talking 10 yards, is terrible. I don't think he's an NFL quarterback. Sorry, I'm going to take the tackle.
So the Bears fans want the Bears to take like a swing on a quarterback, right? A third round guy, fourth round guy, keep swinging, right?
Yeah.
I think a lot of them have forgotten that Mike Glennon was a third round guy.
Yeah.
And the Buccaneers took a swing on him, ended up starting as a rookie. And I don't think enough fans are taking into account all the change that happened down there. Lovie Smith goes down there. brings down Josh McCown. Mike Glennon, now after his promising stuff as a rookie, is now your backup. That stunts a kid's growth.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, Lovie Smith, great defensive coach, bad evaluator of quarterback talent on the offensive side of the football. So that might be an actual benefit, you know, for Mike Glennon's evaluation. And then you had, then they drafted Jameis Winston after finishing so bad under Lovie and Josh McCown. Dirk Cutter stays. Obviously, Jameis Winston's the number one overall pick. He's going to play. So Mike Glennon is a swing at this thing. I know people are kind of, they look at him. He's 6'6". You know, he looks like Kevin Fishbane. What's going to happen here? It's a swing at getting this right.
Yeah.
You know?
He's their third-round pick this year.
It's a great way to
put it. He's their third-round draft pick.
And you know what? He's also a third-round pick in a way, without a lot of mileage over the last 2 years, but also a lot of professional experience in professional systems, unlike your Mitchell Trubisky's and your Davis Webb's.
Actual NFL tape to evaluate.
Yes, Patrick Mahomes. Great talents, some of these guys. A lot of question marks still. I mean, Mahomes is a crazy talent. But he played at Texas Tech. Who's the last Texas Tech quarterback to ever make it?
That's a great question.
I think he could be a good player, but it's going to take time.
I can't think of a single Texas Tech quarterback. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Look, there's differing opinions on this because I'll say, okay, would you rather draft a bad quarterback or take a swing on an offensive tackle who might have a better chance of being a good pro? I mean, I don't think the position, but then other people will come back and be like, okay, well, what are you going to draft, another Deion Bush or another DeAndre Houston Carson, you know?
Well, I think the jury's still out on those guys.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The point is, whatever the position is, you take the guy who you really have evaluated and believe is going to be the better pro.
Yeah.
Regardless of the position at that point. That's the way I look at it. So with that in mind, I could see them going through every round of this draft and not picking a quarterback.
Yeah.
If they stay true to the draft.
Oh, God, the city might be on fire.
Yeah.
Mark Sanchez, Mike Glennon.
Put you on the spot here
as
we wrap up soon. With less than a month to go to the draft, who do you think the Bears take at number three?
If Solomon Thomas is there, they take Solomon Thomas. If he's not, Marshawn Lattimore. It all depends on what San Francisco does because they need everything.
Yeah.
You think the Bears need everything? San Francisco needs everything times two.
I think they have the worst roster in football.
Oh, it's horrendous.
I think it's worse than the Browns, and I think it's worse than the Bears.
I think it's considerably worse than the Bears.
Yeah.
So
remember, the Bears demolished the 49ers last year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that a fair word to use? Demolish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Matt Barkley, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, let's say this. From start to finish, the Bears were the much better team in that game.
Yes.
And the talent was better.
Yeah, of two losing football teams. But it speaks to the Bears have some pieces. They need health. That's number one. But they have some
and
pieces.
Depth.
Yeah. They do need depth, but a lot of teams need depth, you know? One injury could be catastrophic for teams.
The 49ers need starters like across the board.
So, obviously, they can't take both players. So, to me, it's either Solomon Thomas or Marshawn Lattimore.
I think it's Malik Hooker.
Okay.
But this is just a guess. I mean, we're just guessing. Mm-hmm. Bears do a good job of
keeping it quiet.
Keeping it quiet, and they probably will continue. I'll bet you we're still guessing the morning of.
Yeah. So. Now, Kevin White made a lot of sense 2 years ago.
Yep.
A lot of people mocked him there, and they were right. I tried thinking defensively and things like that. So maybe the important thing is not to overthink this pick. You got three, four good players there. I don't think Myles Garrett's going to be there. Solomon Thomas, Marshawn Lattimore, Malik Hooker, Jamal Adams.
The medicals on these guys are just – that's what's so confusing to me. Like, we don't know. We don't get to, you know – give these guys physicals. I don't want to give these guys physicals, and if I did, I wouldn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Okay, but they do. they do.
You should not be giving anybody physicals.
Right, exactly. They do know what they're doing. They have evaluated them. That's the part of this equation.
Uh-huh.
That as much time as I spend on this, the entire year, going back to college football season, just don't know the medicals.
No.
And you can ask, and you're probably going to get a varying That's the thing. The teams disagree on this stuff.
It's all opinion.
It is.
There's no science to this. It's all opinion.
All right. Last thing for you. Do you think Jay Cutler plays in 2017?
I think it's Texans or bust.
And it doesn't seem like they're interested.
No. So it could be.
And I think he's a great fit there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think it's still the stigma of the unfair stigma of the bad personality of Jay Cutler. You know, I've asked around a few things about the Texans, and every time I hear, every time it's brought to me, it's, you know, or I get the answer, it's, will he mesh with Bill O'Brien? Bill O'Brien is obviously a unique personality.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler could be a unique personality, but I think some of the perception of Jay Cutler is unfair. I think Ryan Pace and John Fox learned that firsthand. I think he would be a much better quarterback than a Tom Savage there, although they like a Tom Savage. Yeah, I just don't see another situation where he could step in. So there could be a lot more naked Instagram pictures of Jay Cutler in the near future. You ready for that? That's the more serious question.
I don't know if I'm ready.
What did you think of that? Was that on the during the owners' meetings when that came out?
That was the same morning that I tweeted out that there was a like a significant thinking down there that he's not going to play.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And here comes him.
Because that was one of the questions. You know, the great thing about the owners' meetings, you get a lot of FaceTime with a lot of important people.
Yeah.
You know, you just have conversations. You ask them their opinions on things, and that was one of the most common questions I had. Where do you think Jay Cutler ends up?
Yeah.
And surprisingly, the answer to that question so many times was, I don't know if he's going to play.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we know he's not healthy.
He's got to get healthy.
Yeah.
There's not great situations for him.
No.
And then this is something I brought up the day the season ended. Why would he keep playing?
Yeah.
Unless he can get a great situation. I think Houston's a great situation.
Texans. Or
for
bust.
Him.
Yes. Yes.
But I don't know if the Texans want him. That's the other side of this. So if they don't want him, like everyone said, the Jets would be a good fit. Why would the Jets be a good fit for him?
Right.
Now, he was interested. He was going to go visit until they signed Josh McCown.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't see that. Like, you're not going to go win a Super Bowl there. You're probably going to get your head beat in again. Why not just ride off in the sunset here?
See, I know Cutler is interested in playing again. There is an interest there. There is a desire that still exists there. But he's going to be selective in his decision.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not like, I'm going to go sign with the Browns just to play football. No, I'm going to get... You know, my labrum torn again. I'm going to pull my groin again, and I won't play, you know. I don't know.
There's a lot of people, I'm just telling you, a lot of people who don't think he's going to play, and that's it's still a people's opinion, but it's I'm telling you it's coming from people who, you know, have informed opinions.
Right, right.
And anyway, that was the same morning that his naked picture came out.
Yeah.
I was like, that's interesting.
So when I saw that picture, I follow KCAV on Instagram.
I do now.
And I was... waiting in the delivery room, and it was, for lack of better words, I hope my wife doesn't mind saying this, could be a long process. So there I am sitting on the couch, scrolling through Instagram early in the morning. I'm like, oh man, was that just Jay Cutler's butt? I'm like, I don't want to do anything with that. But then, lo and behold, a few hours later, as things tend to do in this viral internet world, Jay Cutler's butt was everywhere.
Yeah, it was. It was blurred out in some places, but not in others. All right, we should probably wrap up. I just realized how weird it sounded that I just said, I do now follow her, like Jay Cutler's butt, change that. That's kind of a weird thing to say on my part.
We should end this podcast.
Yeah, we should.
It's getting weird.
Anyway, this is episode 85 of Intentional Grounding, the Earl Bennett episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us, WGNradio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com. That's where my latest mock draft is up. You got anything up?
No, I've been kind of laying low.
Well, you did have a kid. So
yes.
That's cool.
But wait till next week, everybody. We're back, baby.
Yeah.
We're back.
All right. Find the podcast on iTunes and the TuneIn app. Searching Hogan Johns there. And again, please rate and review the podcast if you enjoy it. We appreciate you doing that. Any last thoughts here?
No, no, no. I got to get Jay Cutler's butt out of my head. It's gone.
It's gone?
It's gone.
All right. That's good. Enjoy that image as we leave you until next week.
We're scarred.
We'll talk to you then.